Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for Thy holy word, for Thy word is truth. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. And as we approach Thy word, we approach it reverently and humbly. Yes. We look to Thee to give us utterance in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Without Thee, I'm nothing. Amen. Without Thee, I can do nothing. I acknowledge my inability from the natural, from the physical. I have no confidence in the flesh. But I remember it's written, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. And we trust the greater one who in us doth dwell. May he give us utterance. May he think through our mind. May he speak through our lips. May he unveil the word of God unto this congregation. And may this congregation have listening ears, open minds, and receptive hearts. And may each one of us be doers of the word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I shall invite you to open your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I believe the Lord has spoken to my heart after I took up the offering. I really didn't know what I was going to talk on. I've been praying, seeking God, but I really didn't know. Until after I took up the offering, while I was sitting there, he spoke to me. Praise God. And so I got me a text that I just don't use, and yet it's scriptural. It's in line with what I do teach. 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and here we shall read verse 39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Forbid not to speak with tongues. And so my subject will be tongues forbidden or encouraged. Tongues forbidden or encouraged. Now you hear some people talk, tongues is forbidden. But you can't find that in the Bible. Because the Bible said, forbid not. It didn't say they are forbidden. The Bible said, forbid not to speak with tongues. And so then he who forbids to speak with tongues has to be wrong. Paul and the New Testament church and the early church did not forbid to speak with tongues, but they rather encouraged tongues. And if you read this 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians, you will find a number of reasons that Paul gives to encourage the speaking with other tongues. Now, those who would endeavor to forbid speaking with other tongues usually give some kind of an idea out of their own thinking, not out of the Bible, certainly not. For if you could find something out of the Bible, it would contradict this verse. God's word does not contradict itself. And so these folks take some supposed truth. Now, for instance, a person came to me one time, and they said to me, why, don't you know that the Bible said tongues have ceased? I said, no, I don't know that, and you don't either. Oh, yes, I've read it in there. And this happened to be one of these people that's always offering a reward for something, you know, to produce the supernatural. And so I just thought I'd offer them a reward. I said, all right, you show it to me, and I'll give you a $1,000 reward. Oh, I didn't have $1,000, and I ain't got it yet. But I wasn't scared, because I knew I wouldn't have to cough it up, because I knew they wasn't going to find it in there. And so they looked and looked and looked and looked, and they tried to find it. And I said, just as soon as you find it, just as soon as you give me chapter and verse, say, here it is, I'll get the $1,000 for you. I'll give you $1,000. And they couldn't find it, and so I had to help them myself find the verse they were looking for. I said, after a certain length of time, after they'd give out a searching for it and couldn't find it, I said, now the verse that you're hunting for is in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians and the 8th verse. Oh, they said, it really is in there, huh? I said, no. But I said, here's what you thought it said. Now I said, turn and read it. So they turned to 1 Corinthians 13 and 8, and they read that whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But you see, when you read the whole verse, it gives a different complexion to it. And so it also said, tongues shall cease, prophecies shall fail, knowledge shall vanish away. And these folks don't say anything about knowledge vanishing away, do they? No, they claim to have a superabundance of it. Amen. Amen, isn't that right? See, it doesn't say tongues have ceased. It said they shall cease. But then if you'd go on to read, And this person said, oh, I thought it said they have. No, I said it said they shall, and they shall. But you, as you go on to read, it says that when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but then shall we know even also as we are known. Now some people trying to forbid tongues, they'll say, well, now that means that we've got the Bible now, the New Testament in its complete form. We no longer need supernatural gifts. But now wait a minute. Wait a minute. The Scripture said that we see through a glass darkly, but when that which is perfect is come, then we shall see face to face. Well, now, since it's obvious that we do not yet see face to face and that we do yet see through a glass darkly, then it is evident, friends, that tongues have not ceased, knowledge has not vanished away, and prophecies have not failed. And then there are those that said that forbid speaking with tongues. They said, well, now I believe in speaking with tongues, all right, but said, you see, tongues isn't for everybody. Because, you see, they say, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, 30th verse, do all speak with tongues? So then you see, speaking with tongues, therefore, isn't for everybody. But now, wait a minute. Well, you can take a part of a verse or clause or half a verse of Scripture or sometimes even one verse out of its setting and put it with something else in the Bible and prove anything in the world that you want to prove. Very jokingly, sometimes in revival meetings, you know, when somebody brought in and especially something to eat that we liked, you know, brought us a pie, you know, that I like particularly. And I'm getting too fat to eat it now, but I used to quite a bit. And coconut pie was my favorite, you see. And they'd bring a real nice, wonderful coconut pie. Well, I'd get up and prove to them Scripture, they ought to bring another one. You see, I took them. I took them over there to the store. Said, how many of you folks remember the story, you see, of the Good Samaritan? They all did. And I said, now, you see, down on the end, he said, Jesus said, now, who was a neighbor unto this fellow that fell among thieves? And he said, the Good Samaritan. Well, now, then Jesus said, go thou and do likewise. Well, I said, I'm just going to take that verse out of that. Go thou and do likewise. See, somebody brought me a coconut pie. That's my favorite. Go thou and do likewise. That proves you ought to bring me a coconut pie. Somebody said, oh, that's funny. Why, that's silly. Friends, that's not any more funny. That's not any more silly. That's not any more foolish for me to do that. Of course, everybody knew I was doing it just for fun. That's not any more foolish for me to do that than it is for somebody to take this half of a verse. You know, that's just half of a verse out of there and say, do all speak with tongues? See, speak with tongues in for everybody. Just as silly to do that. Or again, we've heard folks, and I've done it, you see, you could take this where it said, go thou and do likewise in that chapter, take that out. And then you could come on over here to the Gospel of John and said Judas went out and hanged himself and put that with it, go thou and do likewise. That proves you ought to hang yourself. See? Well, you can take a half a verse out here and a part of a verse out there, prove it, and put them together, prove anything you want to prove. Now, wait a minute. Let's read the whole context. Let's start back in. That's the 30th verse of the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Let's start back in up with the 27th verse and read down through the 30th and see what it actually says. Now, here's what it said. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that working of miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? The answer is no. Are all prophets? The answer is no. Are all teachers? The answer is no. Are all workers of miracles? The answer is no. Have all the gifts of healings? The answer is no. Do all speak with tongues? The answer is no. Do all interpret? The answer is no. But somebody said, see, they don't all speak tongues. Wait a minute, though. He's not talking about spiritual gifts. He's already talked about that in the first part of the chapter. He's talking about men equipped with spiritual gifts. He's talking about ministries. Apostles is a ministry gift. Prophets is a ministry. Teaching is a ministry gift. This isn't a gift given to the individual, but given to the church. There are those who minister through tongues with interpretation, like Brother Sister Goodwin the other night, see? They have a ministry along that line. Everybody doesn't, but they do, see? And everybody won't speak with tongues publicly to be interpreted. But blessed be God, every believer, every Christian should, could, and ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance, which isn't given to them to be interpreted, which isn't given to them to speak to the church with, but given to them to pray and worship God and praise God. Hallelujah. And we're going to come back to that in a minute. Hold it in your mind. And then again, some in forbidding to speak with tongues, some have said, well, now, Paul took a very dim view of speaking with tongues. I read just some time ago from words to this extent from a very great, supposedly able Bible scholar, Christian leader here in America, because one of his prime and star converts had been filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in other tongues, and wrote him and gave him the testimony. And he wrote back, and I read excerpts from the letter, and he said, trying to discourage them and forbid them, you see, to speak with tongues, said Paul took a very dim view of speaking with tongues. Now, where did that man get that? I noticed he wrote on his official stationery, and he had all kinds of initials on the end of his name, DD, XYZ, PhD, so on. I decided that PhD meant post hole digger. It seemed to me that just a common post hole digger would know better than that. Where did he get it? Paul took a very dim view of speaking with tongues. And then to try to prove his point, never gave any chapter or verse of scripture, he said, Paul said, I'd rather speak 5 words with my own understanding than 10,000 words in unknown tongue. Now, to say it like that, I dispute that. Paul didn't say that. I said, Paul didn't say that. When you say it like that, he didn't say it. He didn't say it. What's he doing? He's picking out part of the verse, one and part of another, and putting it together. Now turn and read all, he said. Turn to the 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians, and read the 18th verse and then the 19th verse, and let's see what he said. First of all, he said, I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than ye all. Well, maybe you got up this morning. I heard Sister Grace, I asked her to pray at the breakfast table, and she said, thank God for this day. It's a day the Lord made. It's a good day. Thank God for it. So according to this fellow, she has taken a very dim view of this day. Amen. I heard somebody else said, thank God, I'm glad I'm alive. It's good to be alive. Praise the Lord. Well, according to that, they're taking a very dim view of life and sort of wish they wasn't living. He said, I thank my God to speak with tongues more than y'all. Oh, you can't cram that junk down me. Praise God, I know better. I thank my God, he said, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Hallelujah. He's thanking God that he speaks with tongues. And then if he speaks with tongues more than this Corinthian bunch did, he did a tremendous amount of speaking with tongues. Because he plainly said in this same chapter, when the whole church has come together in one place, and if all of you speak with tongues, so that means they all could have done it, doesn't it? Huh? Yes, sir. And if all of you speak with tongues at once, you know, and that's all you're doing, in other words, and somebody comes in that's unlearned or ignorant, an unbeliever, or unlearned in spiritual things, you see, and that's all that's going on, everybody's talking tongues, well, they'll think you've lost your mind. They'll think you're crazy. And that's right. I agree with you. And so he's not telling these Corinthians that their speaking with tongues is wrong or forbidding them to speak with tongues, but he's just telling them that in the church service they oughtn't all be trying to talk at once, and that if anybody's going to talk, let two or three of them speak and let one of them interpret, and if there's no interpreter, let him keep silence. He said the church is speaking himself and unto God. That's plain enough, isn't it? Yet he said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. That's the 18th verse. Now look at the 19th verse. Yet in the church. Yet in the church. All right then. If he talks in tongues more than they did, for they had, it seems to be, a superabundance of speaking with tongues. If he speaks in tongues more than they, and then he said his speaking with tongues wasn't in church because he said, yet in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words but more than understanding. So then, Paul speaking with tongues, it seems, was primarily in his prayer life, in his devotional life. And if he talked with tongues more than they did, he must have went to bed talking in tongues. He's bound to got up in the morning talking in tongues. He's bound to talked in tongues between meals. He valued speaking with tongues. You don't thank God for things that you don't value. He thanked God that he spoke with tongues more than you are. Now listen to what he said. Yet in the church. Yet in the church. I had rather speak 5 words with my own understanding. Why? Than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Where is it that he had rather speak five words with his own understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue? In the church? Why? That by my voice I might teach others. You see, it wouldn't do you a bit of good in the world for me to stand up here an hour tonight and just stand here and talk in tongues. What good you get out of it? None. It blessed me. It edify me. But you see, it'd be better for me to teach you just a few words in English, you see, that by my voice I might teach you. You see, in other words, what's he saying? He's saying tongues is not for teaching. Tongues is not for preaching. That's not the purpose of tongues. It's not for teaching. It's not for preaching. Tongues is for your own personal spiritual edification. Look at the fourth verse of this 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians, it'll tell you so. He that speaketh an unknown tongue edifies himself. Edifies himself means he builds himself up. We've got a similar word to that over in Jude. The only one chapter of Jude, you know, Jude the 20th verse. But ye beloved, Jude said, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Woo, glory. I don't know whether I'm helping you or not. I'm preaching me happy. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Building up yourselves. He that speaketh an unknown tongue edifies, builds up himself. Praise the Lord. That's what he said. That's what he said. That's what he said. So speaking with tongues, my brother, sister, is for first and primarily for your own personal spiritual edification. Now, Howard Carter, in his book on gifts of the Spirit, Questions and Answers on Gifts of the Spirit, and he's recognized in full gospel Pentecostal circles worldwide as an outstanding teacher, and he said that we must not forget, but remember, that speaking with other tongues is not only an initial sign or evidence of the Holy Spirit's indwelling, but that speaking with tongues is a continual experience for the rest of one's life. He went on to say, given us for what purpose? Speaking with tongues is an experience for the rest of one's life to assist him in the worship of God. He went on to say, it, speaking with tongues, is a flowing stream that should never dry up, but will enrich the life, your life, the speaker in tongues' life, spiritually. So you see, Howard Carter, like the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, was not forbidding tongue, but he was encouraging tongues. And Paul here, in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, is encouraging the whole church. He didn't write a letter and say, now you few people who do speak with tongue, let me talk to you. No, he addressed the letter to the whole church. And he's encouraging the whole church to follow the practice of speaking and praying and worshiping God in other tongues. He's encouraging it for a number of definite reasons. First, let me give you five. First, to edify and build themselves up spiritually. Jude saying the same thing. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now what is praying in the Holy Ghost? Paul said it is praying with tongues. Come back to the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians and see what he said. Look in the second verse. And here's another reason for speaking with tongues. And reason tongues is encouraged. He said, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. He's not talking to men. Now, my brother, sister, Paul here is not talking about what we call ministering tongues in public assembly. Now, let me stop off long enough to tell you something. There are those among us, I mean even full gospel circles nowadays, you'd never hear it. But some's getting smarter these days. They said all tongues is prayer. I don't more believe in that. No. My brother, sister, than I, in fact, I know better. I don't any more believe that than I believe Brother Groff landed on the moon 10 minutes ago. And I know he didn't because I see him sitting there. Amen. Amen. all tongues is not prayer, and all tongues isn't given for prayer. Are you listening to me? If all tongues was prayer, well, what they say is that when you speak with tongues, that you're really praying. And then that when you interpret, you're really prophesying, but you ain't. Amen. I don't care who said it. Now I know better. Because I've spoken with tongues in public assembly again many times. And I've had people to come afterwards who knew the language and understand what I said. I spoke in German one time. I don't know German. I spoke in Spanish one time. I spoke in the Arabic one time. I've had different people to come to me who were in the congregation and here. Well, if all tongues was prayer, they would know whether I was praying or not. And I'd ask them, was it a prayer? No, they said you was addressing the congregation. They said, and one fellow came to me one time, and he said, I wondered what you was going to do when you came to translating that. I said, why? Well, he said, you made a statement in the Arabic. Well, I no more knew I was talking Arabic than anything in the world. Amen. I'm like one preacher down Texas, a Baptist preacher, Southern Baptist preacher down in Texas. He wasn't as educated as some of the rest of them, perhaps. But he said somebody got to talk to him about Hebrew and Greek. He said, I don't know a thing in the world about Hebrew, Greek, homebrew, or any kind of brew. Praise God. I don't either. I don't know a thing in the world about Hebrew, Shebrew, or homebrew. Praise God. But know Jesus and know the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so this fellow said, you made a statement in the Arabic that you just wouldn't make. I mean, he said, you never hear it. He said, that's my mother tongue. He said, you wouldn't hear that statement. No, well, I said, he said, I wondered what you was going to do when you, he thought it was translating, see, when you come to translating it. I said, how'd it do? Oh, excellent, he said. Excellent. Well, I said, that's good. Praise the Lord. I'm sure glad I did. Because I didn't know what I was talking. He said, what? You mean you never talked that before? I said, no. If I did, I didn't know it. If I did, there wasn't anybody around to tell me what it was. He said, you can't talk. And he talked a few words to me. And I recognized that I'd said those words. And he could see by the dumb look on my face, I didn't know what he was saying. And then I said, well, he said, well, what is this? And I took him to the New Testament and here to the 12th and 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians and explained it to him. And this fella, I don't know how come in the service, but he is in the service, but he didn't believe Christ was Messiah. And he said to me, well, you know, Christ could be the Messiah. I said, thank God he is. Praise God. And that's what was happening was the Holy Ghost is talking to him about it. I wasn't praying. And I've had this happen a number of times. I was holding a meeting in Elizabeth, New Jersey, in the Trinity Pentecostal Church for the late A.A. Swift. That time he is 72 years of age. Now he's an old timer in the Assemblies of God. In fact, he was with them from the beginning. He died a couple of years ago at 80 some odd years of age. And Brother Swift and his wife, way back before the Assemblies of God, they were organized, went out to China in 1911. He and his wife as missionaries. And so I spoke in tongues quite frequently in his church, and he'd interpret. I've never seen anyone, actually, Brother Goodman, I guess, is number two on my list. I've never seen anyone that had developed the gift of interpretation of tongues. And let me say this, friends, that spiritual gifts by use can be developed. Because you can learn to yield to the Spirit of God, just like a fellow preacher. He's anointed to preach, but as he learns to yield to the Spirit and wait on God, he can develop his ministry. Isn't that right? Become more yielded to the Spirit of God. And it's so with spiritual gifts. Now, I believe Brother Swift had developed the gift of interpretation beyond anyone I've ever seen or heard. Most beautiful display of that. And so I've interpreted for a great number of years, but I tell him, you interpret. And so I would, as God would give me something, would speak with tongue, he'd interpret. And so one night I knew I was speaking some kind of oriental language, and I noticed that I do that quite frequently. And after the service is over, we went home, and I was staying with them next door in the parsonage, and we'd have a little bite to eat. And so as we sat there, Brother Swift, a very quiet man, but he said to his wife, he said, Mother, he said, did you understand what Brother Hagin said he spoke in Chinese tonight? And she said, yes, I did. He said, now, it's been many years since we were there. See, this is 1954, and I'm holding a meeting, and they were there 1911, 1912. And so they sat there and talked back and forth to one another in Chinese. And a number of different words I noticed I said. And he said, now, Brother Hagin, you were not speaking the dialect where we were. But he mentioned another dialect. It was a little different. He said, I understood about 50% of what you said, you know, just with my ear, knowing the language. But I didn't interpret it by that, because I couldn't have told over half of what you said. I interpreted it by the Holy Spirit, you see. And his wife said, well, I fully understood at least 50% of what he said. You were speaking, and they told this particular dialect of the Chinese language. Well, I can't talk Chinese. Well, now, don't you know they knew whether I was praying or not in tongues? Somebody said all tongues is prayer. All tongues isn't prayer. Are you listening to me? Some is, some isn't. I think that's one reason he said divers kinds of tongues. Yes. Amen. Now, I grant you that some people, even who speak with tongues publicly, sometimes are praying, and sometimes, just for convenience sake, I interpret their prayer to the congregation. And it blesses them. It blesses the congregation to know what they're saying. Praise the Lord. And so, I want you to notice this, however. That's just a little side thought. I'm focusing my attention on this fact that all tongues isn't prayer. Notice that here's what he said. This tongue that he's speaking about here isn't ministering tongues in public assembly at all. Because he said, he's speaking to God, for no man understandeth him. And sometimes when you speak publicly in tongues, some man does understand you. But here he said, no man understandeth him. He speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Weymouth's translation said he speaks divine secrets. That's the reason no man can understand it. And I'm going to add something else. I'm thoroughly convinced Satan can't understand him either. Amen. And that's why the devil don't like it. And that's why he'll fight it so hard. Because then he can't know what you're praying about. Because you're talking secrets with the Father. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? I thought Brother John Holden said something that was very, very pertinent to what I'm talking about. 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, when we were here in the city so long, in cooperation with the Full Gospel Bidding Men, we used the Sheridan Assembly Auditorium, you know, for about 8 weeks. You remember that meeting? How many of you folks were in that meeting? Oh, most of you were. Many of you were. Well, Brother Holden had sometime another back yonder spoken with tongues, if I remember correctly, but then in this meeting, he never talked anymore. If he had, he never talked anymore. And so we got him speaking with other tongues. And so he said that he took his wife to work, and then he went on to work. And oh, he said, I thought he had it very cute. He said, when his wife got out of the car the next morning, the devil got in and sat down right beside of him and said, you don't have the Holy Ghost. He said, I do too, devil. Said, no, you don't. He said, yes, I do. And I'll tell you why I know I have. I spoke with other tongues. Well, the devil said, you just spoke a few words. He said, that's all right. Acts 2:4 said they began to speak, and a few words is a beginning, so I got it. Well, the devil said, it don't sound like much. He said, I know it don't to you, but it does to God. And I'm going to talk it to him just to show you. And he said, I just started talking the few words I could talk. And he said, I talked all the way to work. Glory to God. Amen. And so he said the next morning, this is the essence of it if I don't get it word for word. Brother John isn't here tonight. He could correct me, but Sister Holden is. And so he said, the next morning he went to work, and when he let his wife out, the devil got right in again. And he sat right down beside him and said, you don't have the Holy Ghost. He said, I do too. Now, did he tell you that the next day? You see, you're not by yourself, are you? Some of these folks has been filled around here nodding their head, yes. No, the devil said, you didn't get it. You don't have the Holy Ghost. He said, I do too. No, he said, you don't. Yes, he said, I do. And I tell you how come I know I do. I spoke with other tongues. Acts 2:4 said they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The devil said, you didn't talk very much. He said, I know it. But bless God, it's a beginning. And it said, they began, so I began, and that's it. Amen. The devil said, well, it don't sound very pretty. He said, I know it don't sound good to you, but it does to God. Yes. And I'm going to keep talking it to him. Yes. And he said, I just want to talk in the few words I could talk. And I talked all the way to work. The third morning he left his wife off at work, and he said the devil got in the car with him. Said, you don't have the Holy Ghost. You didn't get anything. He said, I did too. Oh, brother, sister, you're going to have to learn to talk to the devil if you ever mount anything. Somebody told me, said, well, I can't talk to him. I'm scared of him. Why, bless God, he's already got you. I said, he's already got you. You've already played into his hand. Let him take you captive. Spirit of fear is of the devil.
That's right.
Yes, he said, I do have the Holy Ghost too, because I spoke with other tongues. Well, the devil brought the same argument. He don't know anymore. Same argument. But you can whip him with the word. You just talked a few words. He said, maybe so, but it said they began to speak with tongues, and so I began. A few words is a beginning. I've got the Holy Ghost. Well, he said, it don't sound like much. He said, I know. But he said, devil, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with you. You know what's bad with you? You don't know what I'm saying. You can't listen in on it, and you're mad about it. But I'm going to keep talking it anyhow. And he said, I just talked the few words I could talk. And as I went along, he said, that just came a flood tide. And instead of just talking a few words, bless God, he said, I just talked a blue streak. Oh, glory to God, just a stream let loose in it. Had it all time. Devil trying to talk him out of it.
Yes.
Trying to talk him out of it. Trying to tell him he didn't. Praise God. Bondili shambro curide fra pertis darandota tika halamoho safehenemi canta lichkaro tovre vekap. The devil and your natural mind will oppose you in spiritual things. And your mind will ask you the question, what good did you get out of that? But answer back, the word says it so. I edify myself and speak unto my Father. And speak ye out of your spirit, even as the Holy Spirit doth give you utterance. And so your innermost being shall be strengthened and built up, and ye shall walk in the good graces of the Lord thy God. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's what the Spirit said. Praise the Lord. 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 Now then, look at it again. 1 Corinthians 14:2. If any man speak an unknown tongue, he speaketh not unto men. He's not talking to men. Who's he talking to? God. He's speaking not unto men, but unto God. He's talking to God. You see why the devil will fight it? You see why the devil's opposed to it? He's opposed to people talking to God. And then it said, he speaks mysteries. King James translation said, Weymouth translation said, he speaks divine secrets. He's talking secrets with his Father.
Yes, praise God.
Oh, hallelujah. 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 Have you talked any secrets today with your Father?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen. Praise God.
Huh? And then somebody pops up claiming to be intelligent. And said, what's the good of speaking with tongues? Some preacher, you know, puts on his professional voice and holds his fingers together so pious over his bay window front and said, well, if you don't know what you said, what good would it do you? Why, a fella like that, if all of his brains was dynamite, and they all went off at once, it wouldn't be enough to blow his nose. I didn't say that trying to be funny. It just come to me. Amen. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. Don't get me tickled, Doc. I'm trying to preach. Amen. I might not take it back. Well, it's so anyhow. What's the good? Now, that's one of those fellas that are trying to forbid people to speak with tongues. But my brother, sister, Paul is encouraging people to speak with tongues. What else? What other word does Paul give as a word of encouragement? Well, read it in the 14th verse of the 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians. Here he said, for if I pray... You see, he's telling us that tongues can be used in prayer as well as praise. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, I like here again, the Amplified translation reads, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prayeth. My spirit, if I pray in tongues, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me prayeth. That's the Holy Spirit helping me pray. It isn't just the Holy Spirit praying. Paul said, my spirit praying. But it's the Holy Spirit helping my spirit pray. He's telling us that God has given us a means whereby the Spirit, which is the reader, the real man, can pray apart from your understanding.
Yes.
Is that necessary? It must be. God made the provision for it. Praise God. Now listen. Turn to Ephesians, the 6th chapter and 18th verse, and notice this. Here Paul said to the church at Ephesus, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. And he concludes the verse, for all saints. In other words, he said praying in the Spirit for all saints. He's telling us we can pray for one another this way. In the Spirit, praying in the Spirit means praying with tongues. What is it? 15th verse, 1 Corinthians 14. What is it? I will pray with the Spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding also. All right? He said, Paul said, praying with the Spirit is praying with tongues. Then Paul's one that's writing a letter to the Ephesians. In Ephesians 6, 18, he said, praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Yes. For all saints. For all saints. Well, you couldn't pray for all of them unless you did pray that way, because some of them you wouldn't know. Amen. Amen. But there have been missionaries. I read story after story in days gone by. I don't mean all at once, but I mean over the period of years. Of missionaries on the foreign fields, ministry stores in the Pentecostal evangel. Missionaries on the foreign field in trouble. But somebody here in the homeland had a burden to pray and prayed in other tongues, and they were delivered. Well, they didn't even know the missionary, but the Spirit did. I said the Spirit did. There was one Assembly of God missionary, you know, from Great Britain a few years ago. I read it in the Pentecostal evangel. Read the testimony of it down in Africa. And he developed cancer. And they got him, took him on down, you see, to South Africa there, and got him in the hospital, and they opened him up, but they wouldn't touch him. Just sort of clamped him up and rolled him out. He's going to die. He's going to die. Can't do anything about it. But a dear old saint of God away over in Australia, who had never met him, just read his name as a missionary from England in Redemptive Tidings, the Assembly of God paper, you see, like ours is the Pentecostal evangel. And so she had a burden to pray in other tongues, and spent the biggest part of the night praying in other tongues. And then she had a vision. God showed her what she's praying about, and she saw this fella, but she wouldn't know him because she never saw him. But God gave her the name and saw him rise up well, and she knew he had cancer, so she wrote a letter over there. And blessed be God, it was the very time that she was praying that he was healed, and the same doctors examined him and couldn't find any cancer about his body at all. That was published in the Pentecostal Evangel. Hallelujah. Amen. I read other such reports. I've had missionaries to tell me personally, and not only tell me personally, but sometimes preach it in certain services. I was there, I heard them tell about such deliverances. Oh, thank God, my brother, sister, for this praying in the Spirit. And yet I believe this, that we haven't realized the effectiveness of this kind of praying. Even we folks who have been filled with the Spirit and spoke with tongues then, some of us have not realized this, the effectiveness of this kind of praying. If we did, we'd be doing more of it. I don't know about you, but the greatest things that ever happened to me came as a result of praying with other tongues. I said to the folks this morning, I knew the Holy Spirit. I knew the Holy Spirit as a young Baptist boy preacher. I knew the Holy Spirit in the new birth. The Holy Spirit would come on me and anoint me to preach. And though I didn't have any public healing services, I would preach it publicly, and then privately I'd lay hands on folks and I saw them healed. Healing belongs to us, you see. And being filled with the Spirit hadn't got anything to do with it, see. And so we had some healings and conversions, and thank God for that. But I never had these supernatural manifestations till I was filled with the Holy Ghost in the second week of April of 1937. I'd been preaching for 4 years. But when I was filled with the Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, and I learned to pray in other tongues. Did anybody tell me to do it? I didn't know whether to or not. But I just found out it was easy to pray that way, and I could get further than I could any other way, so I just did it anyhow. We didn't have too much teaching back there then, you know. And it was while I was praying in other tongues and I'd never married, that I got the revelation, bless God, of being married. And I saw that to have two children. I don't mean I saw it literally in a vision. I just knew it on the inward revelation. And I got it by praying other tongues. I found out I was praying about it. God's in it and everything about you. The oldest to be a boy and the second to be a girl. So my wife and I, when we got married then, I told her about this. And we said, well, the first one's a boy. And so we never picked out anything else except a boy's name. Second one's a girl. Never picked out anything else but a girl's name. We kept having all the family, this is a girl. And they said, oh, what if it's not? Just supposing. I said, I'm not living on supposings. Yeah, but if. I said, I'm not living on ifs. Don't know about you, but I was going along the highway one day and rolled the window down and throwed that word if out in the ditch. If's a badge of doubt. You'd do good if you'd do that. Some of the rest of you I'm talking about. Amen. Just because I looked at you, I wasn't talking about you, brother. Amen. Amen. Sometimes folks are guilty and think because you look at them, you're talking about them. I don't even see you. Amen. Amen. That's right. Just roll the window down. Throw that little old word if out. If's a badge of doubt. I haven't got any business wearing the badge of doubt. Praise God. Praise God. I wear the badge of faith. Hallelujah. Praise. And so, I got that speaking with tongues. Praise God. That's where I got that. That's where I got that. Praise God. Hallelujah. I never knew anything like that before. Never even had a wife. Praise God. and not only that, but the greatest healings that I've ever seen under my ministry have came after a time praying with other tongues. And I saw then that I was praying about that. You can pray about physical things as well as spiritual things in the Spirit. And by praying in the Spirit, I found out that I can tell the difference in when I'm praying. Well, now, wait a minute. Go back to the 8th chapter of Romans, 26th verse. And Paul said, for we know not for what to pray as we ought. But he said first, likewise the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. Helpeth, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Now, that word infirmities there is the same word infirmities that's found over in Matthew 8:17 that said himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. It's referring to physical conditions. And he said, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. How does he do it? For we know not for what to pray as we ought, but he maketh intercession. He's telling us here, my brother, sister, that there's healing in this area. Praise God forevermore. No, the Spirit doesn't do that by himself. He's not going to do your praying for you. He's not. That make him responsible for your prayer life. You're responsible for your own prayer life. You're going to have to yield to him. Maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered in articulate speech. That's what the Greek says, articulate. Articulate means your regular kind of speech. This includes praying with tongues as well as groanings. When you get down before God and begin to pray and those groanings well up within you and you utter them and speak with other tongues, that's the Spirit helping you make intercession. And he said also, likewise, he helpeth our infirmities. Helpeth our infirmities. Look that Greek word up translated helpeth, and it's very enlightening. I noticed this, that it said, this Greek word translated help us means to take hold together with against. Read it like that. Likewise, the Spirit takes hold together with us against our infirmities. Yes. The reason a lot of folks never get any help, they don't ever stand against them to begin with. They accept their infirmities. They think it's a blessing from God. Our dear brother, perhaps we'll... He won't mind me saying this. Our dear brother Canfield that was with us here at the beginning of this, a Baptist minister for 30 years in Lincoln, Nebraska, and worked for a number of years with the Back to the Bible broadcast. Has his own broadcast now on 25 radio stations. He told me I'm fixing to expand it to 50 radio stations. And recently he's been baptized, Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. Has 9 children. And he said to me, Brother Hagin, very humble man. He was here, you know, with his wife for several days. And he said, Brother Hagin, I'm just new in this. But I know it's real. I pray with tongues every day, and I prayed with him in tongues. Praise God. And it enriches me. I found out that. But he said, you know, I've been trained for 30 years. He said, I preached against all of this. It takes me a little time to readjust my thinking. I preach as healing's been done away with, you know. Or God, you know, uses sickness. But he said, we have 9 children, and I saw this boy in San Francisco. One of their boys, 13 years old, has polio. He's in a wheelchair. And he said, I got to think about it. Just come and read. Now, I'm a psychologist. I have counseling classes. I'm a psychiatrist also, as well as a minister. But he said, just common reason. I got to reason it. Well, now, if sickness is a blessing, and God's using this to bless my boy and to deepen his piety and to deepen him spiritually, then I ought to pray that all nine of my kids would be paralyzed. I ought to pray God send polio on all of them, so they'll all be deepened. Oh, somebody said that silly. That's not any more silly than the claim God does it. Are you still out there? Have you gone home? My wife said, no matter where I start, I always wind up preaching faith and healing. Well, that's part of it. That's part of me. And I did it just sure as the world. Not just because she said it. She said it because it's so. Amen. Well, now see, he got to thinking about that. I mean, he got to thinking the utter fallacy of what he'd preached himself for years. Just be patient, he'd teach, you know, and preach, you know. God sends those things, you know, and he uses that to deepen you spiritually. But he woke up. Well, he said, if that's the case, then if it's a blessing, if sickness is a blessing, then polio would be a blessing because it's a sickness. Then I ought to pray God bless all nine of my kids, all the other eight. Give all of them polio. Amen. Like one pastor, bless his darling heart. Healing evangelist in town getting folks healed. And a lady from his church who was paralyzed was healed. And on Sunday morning, he got up and said to his congregation, now see, he couldn't deny she's healed because she's paralyzed. And he could see. And he said, well, now we want to thank God that Sister So-and-so received her healing. But now let me sound you a word of warning. He said, it's not God's will to heal everybody. It isn't everybody God can trust with sickness. Now he said, God uses sickness to deepen our piety, to make us more spiritual, to draw us closer to himself. And he said, just remember now that if it's God's will, he'll heal all right. But if he doesn't heal you, then it's not his will that you be well. That very week, the fellow took sick. They rushed him to the hospital. See, God didn't heal him, but he's going to hospital anyhow, trying to get out of the will of God. Amen. Now, you know, if according to what he had said was so, then he ought to pray, now, dear Lord, I'm going to thank you. You didn't heal me, so it's your will for me to stay sick now. And you're using this to deepen my piety and draw me closer to you. And I'm going to thank you for this great blessing. And now I can see that my children, they need deepening spiritually too. So now why don't you just make all of them sick? And my wife too, she needs it. And God bless the whole choir so they'll all have sore throats and can't sing Sunday morning. And God bless all the deacons so they can't come to church. And bless all my members so they'll be homesick in bed and can't come pay the tithes. Oh, somebody said that's silly. It's not any more silly than it is to get up there, bless God, and talk like that. Amen. Amen. I'd just soon hear a donkey bray at midnight in a tin barn as to listen to such. Actually, I've got more respect for the donkey. He don't know any better. That's all he can do is bray. Amen. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching today. Praise the Lord.
Glory.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Nobody else shout, I will. Glory to God. So anyhow. Now let me get back to him. How come me to get off on that anyhow? Well, somebody needed it. I almost know who it was. I'm not going to look at him though. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir.
Glory, hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Well, let's conclude. Paul, the New Testament. The Holy Spirit speaking through Paul does not forbid speaking with tongues. He encourages it. For it's a means of spiritual edification. It's a means of supernatural communication with God. It's a means of prayer whereby we, the Holy Spirit, takes hold together with us against our infirmities to quicken our bodies. And also enables us to pray for other saints. Praying always for all saints in the Spirit. Well, if in the Spirit, in 1 Corinthians 14 meant with tongues, and 1 Corinthians 14, 2 said it does, then in the Spirit, because Paul's the same one writing in Ephesians 6, 18 means with tongues. If we're told to pray in the Spirit, then we should, shouldn't we? And if praying with the Spirit's praying with the tongue, then we should, shouldn't we? Hallelujah to Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to come together in the name of Jesus to teach and preach thy holy word. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Hallelujah. Established in heaven, it changeth not. We thank thee for the glorious privilege, not only to be born again, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to speak to God in a supernatural, heavenly language. For we heard them, it's written, speak with tongues and magnify God. Thank you for the privilege to build ourselves up spiritually, speaking with other tongues. Thank you for the privilege to talk secrets with our Father, our God. Thank you for the privilege to pray for others in the Spirit. Now, our Father, peradventure there are those among us tonight who have not yet been filled with the Holy Ghost. As Acts 2:4 said, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues. The Spirit gave utterance. We pray that the Holy Spirit will open unto them the understanding of your word. They may come and walk in the light of it and be filled with the Spirit and walk in the light of this experience and continue to pray and worship God and speaking.